All right, today we're going to be talking about stress in our lives. So if you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, we're going to look at how our Lord told us to handle our stress. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Father, this evening as we deal with stress, Father, help us to learn your method and your plan for handling the stress of our lives. And Father, we'll give you the praise tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1983, Time magazine ran a special issue in its June 6th edition dealing with the subject of stress, which the magazine called the epidemic of the 80s. And we almost find that laughable today because the decade of the 80s seems mild as far as stress is concerned to today. Surveys today found that most people perceive they're under much more stress now than they were 30 years ago, 10 years ago, or even 2 years ago. We all have some stress, but I want you to have your attention drawn to what happened to the 4,000 residents of an Angolan town called Mashusco just a few years ago. The whole town began to be alarmed as they felt vibrations coming from the ground beneath their feet, but they knew it was no earthquake. There was an ominous roar, but it wasn't a thunderstorm. There were dust clouds swirling toward them, but it was no tornado. A herd of wild elephants was charging in their direction. The whole village fled for their lives as the runaway elephants rampaged through their town, destroying their gardens and their farms and dozens of their houses. Thankfully, no one was killed in that stampede, but it was a moment they'll never forget. Have you ever felt like a herd of wild elephants is heading right toward you? An onslaught of problems can cause stress to enter our lives, and stress can be a killer. I know you've heard the term under the gun. It's recognizable to all of us because we know what it means to be under pressure in a situation that we feel unable to control the outcome. And that, my friends, is called stress. Stress contributes to high blood pressure, heart disease, addictive disorders. It often leads to headaches, back aches, it results in trembling of the hands and fingers, lightheadedness, ringing in the ears, cold hands, dry mouth. It can dramatically affect the skin by triggering psoriasis, eczema, hives, and itching. Stress has been traced to stomach and breathing disorders. Stress can cause hair loss, and I know you're looking at me now and saying, well, that must be, Pastor must be under a lot of stress. He has no hair. It can cause mood swings and insomnia and nightmares. It produces all types of nervous habits in the body, like fidgeting of the feet and tapping of the fingers. People under stress often lose their energy and struggle with chronic fatigue. We're apt to gain weight or lose weight under stress. And many researchers believe that stress can trigger life-threatening diseases like cancer, strokes, and even heart attacks. The bad news for us as Christians is that even Christians are not immune to the stresses of this life. In fact, our Lord Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 16, verse 33, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." The troubles of this world bring stress, and the Bible is full of men and women who dealt with high levels of pressure in their lives. I want to talk first about the Apostle Paul, and he tells about the stress that he had in his life in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8. Paul said, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure. so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened, that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. I want to stress verse 9 for just a second. This happened, that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. When we get under stress, so often it's because we are relying on ourselves. We have to have the answer. We have to figure it out. Folks, there are things in life you will never figure out, and you'll never have the ability to handle. The Apostle Paul said he had come to the end of himself. He thought he was going to die, but he said all those troubles, all those stresses came on him that he might not rely on himself, but on God who raises the dead. If God can raise the dead, is there any stress in your life that God can't handle? We get ridiculous. We start to carry our own load, and we don't realize God wants us to trust him. Our ability to rely on our God in our stressful times is the very crux of our ability to live godly. When the nation of Judah was facing an invasion by an alliance composed of enemies, stampeding like that nation, like wild elephants coming at them, King Jehoshaphat, who was a godly king, said this prayer, found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, starting at verse 1. After this, the Moabites and Ammonites, with some of the Mimonites, came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. It's already in Hazan Tamar, that is in Jedi." Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard. And he said, "Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nation. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. But now here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession that you gave to us as an inheritance. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." All the men of Judah, with their wives and children and little ones, stood there before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite, and the descendant of Asaph, and he stood in the assembly. He said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They'll be climbing up the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance of the Lord that he will give you. Judah and Jerusalem, Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out in faith on tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. So sadly, often we feel that we're in the battle alone. And whenever everyday stresses of life hit you, where do you turn? When the crushing stresses of life hit from time to time, who do you look to? Do you look to yourself? Do you look to your government? Or do you look to your God? King David had his share of stress too when he was running first from King Saul and then running for his life from his own son Absalom. And David wrote in Psalm 141, verse 1, I call to you, Lord. Come quickly to me. Hear me when I call to you. Verse 8 says, But my eyes are fixed on you, O sovereign Lord. In you I take refuge. Do not give me over to death. Keep me safe from the traps set by evildoers, from the snares they have laid for me. Let the wicked fall into their own nets while I pass by in safety. Stress and emotional physical stress brings both emotional and physical symptoms, but it has a spiritual remedy. Well, we simply can't wave our Bibles over our heads and stress disappear. We can learn a series of biblical principles found in God's Word that will allow us to know who to turn to and what to do to find the help we need in our times of stress. And so I've broken it down tonight into four different principles that God gives us. To handle your stress, one of the most important things you can do is found in the Bible, is to get some rest. Yes, sometimes something as simple as physical rest and emotional rest can make a huge difference in both the amount of the stress we feel and how we choose to operate under that stress. Part of our problem for many of us, we try to do too much with not enough rest. Our Lord never meant for us to try to run the whole world and work with so little rest that we can't restore our soul. Listen and hear him speak as he spoke to King David nearly 1,000 years ago in Psalm 127, verse 1. The Lord told David, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise up early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. My friends, if you can't sleep at night, you're carrying too much stress. It really is okay with God that if you take a half hour in a dark room and just close your eyes, there's no problem with that. We are to work, but we're not to work every minute of every day. Even our Lord rested the seventh day. We need time to ourselves. We need time for a vacation once in a while, a time to get away, a time just to relax in the Lord. In 1 Peter 5, 7, we're told by the Lord, cast all your anxiety on him. Why? Because he cares for you. When we get so much stress, we forget the Lord does care. Jesus cares about you. And our Lord taught us in Matthew 11, verse 28. He said, Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Folks, one of the problems we have is because we don't live in an agricultural society today like our great-grandparents did, is we don't understand what happens when two animals yoke up together. When an animal, whether it's two horses or two steers or two donkeys, it doesn't matter what it is, when you yoke up together with another animal, The stronger animal carries the load. The weaker animal just keeps in step. And when you choose to yoke up with Jesus Christ for your life, he'll carry you. We have to understand that because we think, we've been taught, the Lord helps those who help themselves. Point of day, that's absolutely not true. The Lord helps those who trust in him. We have to yoke up with him. We have to learn that he'll carry the weight of the load. We just have to keep in step. And once we learn that, regardless of the stress that the Lord allows into our lives, we'll be able to face it not only with peace and rest, but joy. When you're under stress, carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders, it's impossible to get physical rest because you really believe if I don't do it, it won't get done. My friends, life goes on even after you're going to be gone. God is the one carrying this world, not you. Yes, you have a part to play in it, but you're not in charge and you're not responsible for everything in life. Let God be God and you be his son or daughter. Learn to let him carry the load. Jesus told his exhausted disciples in Mark chapter 6, verse 30. The apostles were gathered around Jesus and reported him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going, they didn't even have a chance to eat. He said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." Folks, today you need to take time in your day, every day, to get alone with Jesus, to take time to rest in him, to take time to find your hope in him. We get so busy, we have no time with the Lord, no time to pray, no time to learn, no time to grow. The Lord never meant for our lives to be that way. The psalmist said in Psalm 37, verse 7, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes." We need to learn how to rest in our Lord. Fatigue, just being simply wore out through all the cares of life, is as great an enemy as stress is. Exhausted people are emotional people, and our overreactions to life's events are often in direct proportion to our fatigue. Our Lord wants us to learn how to rest in him. Researchers from Seattle's Group Health Research Institute conducted an interesting experiment a few years ago studying patients who were suffering from angst or stress. Part of the group were given a series of very costly massages, and others were just told to lie down in a dark room with soft music and practice breathing deeply. The cost of that was almost nothing. The researchers were amazed to find out after several months that those who took the cheaper treatment, simply resting for a half hour in a dark room with gentle music playing and breathing deeply, had exactly the same results as those that had the very costly massage therapy. The participants after 4 months had 40% less stress, and by 6 months, 50% less stress. So if your stress level's high, perhaps just taking a break for physical rest may be one of the helps of helping you better handle your stress. The second secret here is meditation, biblical meditation, thinking about the spiritual principles found in God's Word through meditation. Simply mulling over portions of scripture in your mind. In Psalm 23, verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Think about the promise that Jesus gave us in John 14, verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. What is Jesus saying there? He's saying when we get troubled hearts, when stress begins to build, it's because we're not believing in him. We're not trusting the problem to him yet. In Romans 8:28, we think stress is against us, but God says absolutely not. He says we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. My friends, when the stresses of life hit you, God is going to build endurance into your life. It's not against you. It's for you. Meditation, again, doesn't have to be done in a dark room with soft music playing. Meditation can happen when you're stuck in traffic. And you, instead of fretting about the fact that maybe you're going to be late for work or late for an appointment, instead of stressing about that, you meditate on the promises of God. It'll bring rich peace into your life. As you lean back in a tub with warm water in it, close your eyes for 60 seconds and just think about the love of your Lord as recorded in his word. Psalm 119, verse 143. Trouble and distress have come upon me, but your commands give me delight. Folks, learn to meditate on the promises of God. The third one would be prayer. Friends, you can take your cares to the Lord. You can leave them there. So the third principle of our arsenal to help us in our times of stress is prayer. Poet John Greenleaf Whittier wrote this: drop thy still dew of quietness till all our striving cease. Take from our soul the strain and stress, and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace. Try a tried and tested habit. Kneel down at your bedside at bedtime. Ask God to take from your soul the stresses and strains of the day, and his dew of quietness will fall on your soul. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. When we pray and ask our Lord to relieve our stress, don't forget one of the most important parts of that prayer is giving thanks to God. We get so caught up in our stress, we forget about the blessings that God has given to us. God inhabits the praises of his people. And when you begin to give thanks to God for what he's done, and you're casting your care on him, that's when the peace of God will come on your soul. Some of you will remember Corrie Ten Boom. She was a prisoner of war in the Second World War. Her family had hidden Jews in their Dutch home, and the Germans arrested her, her dad, and her sister, and they were thrown into a concentration camp. Corey and her older sister, Betsy, were in a concentration camp cabin that was infested by fleas. And Corrie Ten Boom and her sister and all the other ladies were very stressed about the fleas because they were constantly biting them. Corey's sister, Betsy, told Corrie she had to find a way in her heart to thank God for the fleas. And Corrie said, "I will never thank God for these fleas." Well, time went on, and of course, all the other women in all the other cabins were constantly, they said, attacked and raped by the guards. But the guards never came into Corrie and Betsy's cabin because of the fleas. And once Corrie learned that, she did thank God for the fleas. Folks, it's such an important thing to know. God has a reason for whatever the problem is that's causing your stress. It is for your good, or the good shepherd would not allow it. We have to come to that understanding. When you come to that understanding, finally you're going to get to the fourth and most important part of the spiritual principles of how to handle stress, is counting it all joy. And I know you're thinking about your stress right now, and you're saying, "I will never count this as joy." Then you're going to disobey the clear command found in God's word. And it's found in James chapter 1 and verse 2. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Folks, this is so important and such an important principle found in God's word. Jacob said all this, all the things God had allowed his life, Jacob said, "It's all against me." Folks, it isn't against you. It's for you, or God would not allow it. The good shepherd knows everything that's coming into your life before it ever comes. It cannot touch you unless your heavenly Father, your good shepherd, allows it. And if he allows it, he wants you to count it as joy because it's for you and not against you. God wants to grow your faith. God wants to help you to endure even more so that you can be an example to others. You can learn to have peace in any and every situation. When we face a series of reversals and difficulties, our first emotion and reaction may be inner stress. But again, as we saw in Jehoshaphat's life, where do you turn to when Jehoshaphat confessed, "We don't have any answer to this"? Folks, there are going to be times in your life and mine where you're not going to have an answer. But we do know somebody who does have an answer, and all we need to do is turn to him. The illustration of this is a famous Salvation Army evangelist of years ago named Samuel Logan Bringle. He became old, and in his old age, he faced many physical problems, as all of us that are getting older are starting to sense, including approaching blindness. The doctors had told him, as his eyes were getting weaker, that they were getting dimmer, and soon the light was going to go out. The specialist said the light will fade altogether. The evangelist said, "I gird myself for darkness, and I quote James 1, verses 2 to 4, and I shout hallelujah and go on." You say that's impossible. No, that's not impossible. That's living by faith. That's living with hope that God has a purpose in this. Remember the Apostle Paul said about himself in Philippians 4, verse 11? He said, I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Folks, the Apostle Paul did not say, I can do all things through my strength. He said, I can do all things. I can give thanks in times of plenty, and I can rejoice in times of want. I can rejoice when things are going against me, at least it's seemingly so, and I can rejoice when things are going for me. He said he's learned the secret. What's the secret? The secret is I can do everything through him who gives me strength. You see, it's not my strength anymore. It's not my wisdom. It's not my power. It's not me figuring it out. It's me trusting in God who loves me, who cares for me, who's meeting my needs, even with the problems that are causing the stress. We need to learn to count it joy, because that's when we turn to the Lord and we find the joy of the Lord is our strength, not our own joy. You know, we study a lot in the Christian churches about faith and love and how God's love is so different from our love. But we don't realize God's joy is so different from our joy. You see, it's the joy of the Spirit. It's the joy that's part of the fruit of the Spirit. It's his joy in our hearts. If you're stressed out and feeling under the gun tonight, remember that God is the great de-stressor. Starting today, find a way to manage your stress better using the spiritual principles that worked for all the heroes of the biblical faith. They'll work for you as well. Those principles found in God's Word. Physical and emotional rest. Meditation on His promises found in His Word. Casting all your care on Him in prayer and yoking up with Him. Let Him carry the load. You aren't capable. It's His joy, it's His strength. And then count it all joy. We simply can't stress enough God's principles found in His Word to help us deal with the stress in our lives. When you come to the end of your road and you're involved with extreme stress and all you have left is your faith in God, guess what you're going to find out? It's more than able to handle your problem. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful that you've given us these spiritual principles found in your word that will help us, Lord, in our times of trouble. You told us we're going to have times of trouble in this life, but you didn't stop there. You said, take heart. I've overcome the world. And Lord, because we're in you, we are going to overcome this world too. And in the meantime, we can count all these problems we have as joy. We can learn to trust in our God. We can learn to take from His strength and His wisdom and His power for our daily lives. Father, bless and use us as we give our stress over to you with praise and with thanksgiving. And Father, we'll give you the praise tonight in Jesus' name.